You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos, and welcome to another week. Got plenty to get into this week, especially, ready for this, football talk, like legit football talk. I know I'll temper it from this aspect. It was rookie mini camp, but hey, that doesn't mean that we didn't get to actually see players wearing the black and gold on a actual football field. Sean Payton, you heard from the draft picks, not draft picks as well, who's impressive. And again, we'll temper it and preface it by saying it was rookie minicamp, but still legit stuff we can actually make observations and talk about. We'll let you hear from some of the players as well, including from head coach Sean Payton. A quick little one-on-one I had with receivers coach Curtis Johnson as well coming up. You'll hear from defensive coordinator Dennis Allen. What's it like to actually have Marcus Davenport? And, little aspects of what he thinks this defense can sort of be this year. And again, one thing or two or three, or really I'd say a half dozen sort of things that we can discuss and talk about at least this week as we get closer. Not this week. Next week is OTAs, and then we'll discuss a little bit more. Yes, I know. I get it. They're in shorts, no pads. But at some point, somewhere, you still have to make some sort of observations, right? You still have to look at certain things because people want to know how they look and what's going on. And look, coaches have to evaluate as well during this period. So I'll let you hear exactly what it is that Coach Sean Payton and the other Paytons are the other coaches are actually looking for during this time. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in to the conversation today. And at ESPN Radio NOLA is also a way to do it via social media. Jordan, the intern, Gus Kattengill with you here in our Metairie studios. Joey D back over in the LaRose studios. He'll be answering your phone calls and telling you hi when you like to chime in and give your takes and opinions. Eastern Conference Finals got underway yesterday. And it's interesting how in not even a week's time, right? Last Tuesday, Brian Enola East is in here. Or it might even have been Wednesday. That's when ESPN came out and said what? They put the, has LeBron James overtaken Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time? You know how this works, right? He sweeps Toronto. That's what they look at and do. And then, boom, he's held the 15 points. Boston spanks the Cavs, and it's over, right? I mean, screaming, they said LeBron was nowhere to be found. Marcus Morris is now the greatest defender in the history of the NBA. Wow. Anyway, Western Conference Finals gets underway tonight. Warriors and Rockets. Want to hear from you. Jordan, feel free to tweet that at some point today as well. Who you got? Warriors or Rockets? Golden State, 58-24. Houston, 65-17 on the season. The series starts in Houston. They are 1.5-point favorites. The over-under is interesting. 224.5 points. 224.5 points. I think a lot of people predict a lot of scoring. And you heard me give the over and under in the line, right? Huge news today as the Supreme Court overturning the federal ban on sports betting. That means it's available. What are you fist pumping for over here? Right? You should not even be thinking about this going into your sophomore year at LSU. Jordan, the intern, fist pumping. Where are you getting money to go betting at? Exactly. You need gas money. Gas money and whatever it is, book money.
Book money.
Yeah, book and gas money. Jordan the intern. But yes, it is a huge deal. Already, the casinos on the coast here in Mississippi, they're flat out. They're ready to go. Ready to go. Mississippi itself says, hey, we're ready to go. We're getting into the game. It'll be interesting to see what Louisiana does, right? There's a bill up there, and they have to do a law because it's not legal here, so they would have to say it's legal. Now, a session is going on right now. There is a bill that's been kind of pushed back and forth here during the session that's going on. Joey, you would probably know a little bit better about this with the show that you do, but there is something up there that can be voted on. But now that the federal ban is gone, I think I'm correct on this. We're going to have Rafael Esparza on, Mr. Vegas, mm-hmm. who else would know this, at 105 to talk about it.
Yeah, it's got to go through committee in the legislature.
And then once they pass it through committee and they voted okay, then it goes to the voters parish by parish.
Ah.
And then say Terrebonne does it, and Orleans does it, and Lafourche doesn't. Guess where we're going?
Yeah.
Lafourche and Orleans. Yeah. It's going parish by parish.
Well, that's my point. Because I know, I don't think you could have turned on a TV yesterday. I know there's a huge Harris bill that's being voted on right now. I don't think you could put on a TV yesterday at all, not coincidentally on Mother's Day, right? Where it seemed like every commercial was about the Harris deal and with the state renewing their lease or kind of getting it. Point is, they want to build a hotel. And I know Harris absolutely wants to get involved in all that. So, we'll talk to Raphael about how that might affect here in New Orleans and in the state of Louisiana. But I can for sure, I'm telling you right now, it's happening. They're going to flip that switch and get ready to go in Mississippi. So you'll be able to bet on games legally, safely, unlike Jordan, apparently, who goes and meets people in the alley. I mean, the fist pumping you were doing when I was talking about this story was unnerving.
Cash.
What?
I'll make some big cash.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Big baller brand.
Stop it. You're not big baller. You're not buying big baller brand shoes. You're not doing it. Anyway. So we'll have Raphael Esparza to talk a little about that as well. Marlon Favre at 215 because I want to get his take as a defensive tackle. And look, one of the things, like I said, I'm going to preface, and I get it. I mean, I had to deal with this from the graph, okay, because I posted something on Twitter Saturday after rookie minicamp. That stood out. I mean, that's our jobs, right? When we go there, what stood out? What do we see? What are our storylines? What are the columnists and writers and beat reporters writing about? What are the sound bites that I'm cutting? Well, I mean, what are we going to talk about? I mean, this is the first weekend or the first time for us to actually see some of the newer players, potential newer players, some veterans trying out. One actually got signed of note that happened to be with the play that I was talking about, which wasn't surprising, actually, after that play. So, you know, we have to kind of evaluate and talk a little bit about that. I get it because this one's going to happen again, right? OTAs who look good. You can only go by what you see and what's happening. And then you preface it by saying, well, there's no pads on. And then, okay, well, you got some pads. Look, you still can make some observations. I mean, you still can, right? And we'll get into it next segment. You're going to hear. I mean, like, if I had to say out of a half dozen things, what's the number one thing that stood out? And again, you just walk out there. A, we were expected. I want to say, and talk to some of the people there since Reggae Bush, maybe a year or so after that. It's been a long, long time since we've been able to observe rookie minicamp. In the past, it's been you show up, you get availability, there's coach after practice ends, and then you have an open locker room. We actually got to watch some drills and, you know, some stuff, some football stuff. And look, it's hard to look at it, and you have to have the understanding. These players were literally given a minimal amount of information, A, to judge on how you retain that. But also, you got to be able to run some plays. I mean, you have to be able to run some plays. You have to be able to do some things. So what exactly are you giving these young players? And what are you trying to do? Brian and Ola East, as a matter of fact, asking this question to head coach Sean Payton as we were both out there. And it's just kind of what, he's looking forward to doing stuff. Again, you can't give them the full install. They won't know it in 3 days and expect them to do that. But I think Sean explains it pretty well here as to what it is you're looking for.
Coach, how much information is actually asked of the guys considering it's a three-day period?
Quite a bit. We are mindful. Look, we want to see them know what to do, so we don't want to see a ton of mental mistakes. So the installation might be a little different than the installation in the vet camp. It certainly would be. So you're trying to give them things that are basics in what you do defensively and offensively so that you have a chance to evaluate rather than, I can't evaluate because he didn't know what to do, and now I'm still left with a, you know, the key always, and I say this all the time, the concern we have all the time is that, you know, one or two of these trial guys end up somewhere else and doing well. So getting a good evaluation on the players that are here and trying to look at, hey, what do they do well? How are they moving? How are they picking things up? And so that you can arrive at a better decision.
And it's true. I mean, look, what do you see? So again, I'm out there and I'm just, there's certain things you ought to be able to do regardless, right? I mean, football is football, and at the end of the day, can you guard and run with somebody? How are you using your hands? These are the things that I'm just looking at, right? I mean, like, how are you using your – I don't need to know, are you blitzing, are you stunning, but when you have the one-on-one battles, which I'm about to get into with Davenport and a specific left tackle, you know, is he spinning away from him? Are you starting to see some moves? I mean, just, you know, what do you see? I mean, just the natural progression. Because for the most part, when you aren't being asked to, like, what Sean Payton is saying there, you kind of want to see natural ability. It'll stand out, right? I mean, you throw me out there at the Pelicans practice, Jordan. I go up against AD. You're going to see it. I don't need to be in a game situation or wearing the uniform, right? I mean, you're going to see he's small. He really can't jump, and I'm about to get my ball thrown. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can see certain things. At the quarterback position specifically, again, you walk out there and I'm like, look, I want to see where 92 is, Davenport. Great. There's number 10, Tre'Quan Smith, right? I mean, those are the things I'm just kind of looking at, seeing guys that maybe are going to be asked to immediately contribute. As I mentioned, no disrespect to the rest of the draft class, but to me, the first two picks are probably the guys that you're expecting to compete for snaps early on, if not start, right? So those are the two numbers and guys I'm, you know, and I'm looking at the quarterbacks. I'm like, all right, it's interesting. And it's a pet peeve. We always talk about this. This is anybody that's ever gone to a practice, OTA or minicamp, right? Yes, you're in a red jersey. You don't get hit. I get it. Because what I'm about to say is what stood out. And then, you know, some people may go, well, how does it stand out? It's practice, whatever. JT Barrett stood out. Let's just throw it out there. JT Barrett stood out. When you walk out there and you look, he stands out. You can see it. Little, kind of looked like he had a command. The body language looked confident. The throws were accurate and delivered with force. And it did not come across like that was day two of running those plays. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's competing for a spot. I didn't call him the future just yet. But my point is, again, just as you walk out, you stand there, you watch some plays go. And, you know, hey, I get it. There's a thing that you look at through your experience of having watched practices for 10 plus 11, 15 years, right? Guys in red jerseys that can't get touched. And especially, I don't care what play it is. At the end of the day, if you want to be a professional quarterback or a high level college quarterback, what should not be happening? The ball should not be hitting the floor, right? It shouldn't be hitting the ground. I mean, when you start seeing receivers stretching high, stretching left, catching it shoe tops, whatever, those are things I look at. Yeah, the ball was delivered. Where is it? Is it accurate? Can the receiver then catch it and throw? How is he handling, you know, the snaps? High, low, left, to the right of him? Is he doing it? Where is his head sort of moving? These are just certain things I'm looking at. If you have skill, those little things will show, right? I mean, if you're out there and you're 4 for 9, in a short and jersey practice, that's not good. I mean, it's just not, you understand what I'm getting at? And something that I pointed out and I tweeted about, and we'll get into more in depth next segment, is, as I said, Barrett stood out. I'm watching. One of the last plays in team was a play in particular. 3 straight plays, Barrett hits a tight end over the middle. It's a receiver over the middle, and then a tight end again. You can see it on the Saints website. You have the highlights. And they're right there, again, on the money. They're where the person can catch it, but they're forceful. He's delivering. He's stepping up in the pocket. Again, I'm going off of what I've seen and known. And, you know, one of the reasons he didn't get drafted, a lot of people say he's a runner. He's not really accurate with the ball. He's not throwing. So, again, I'm looking at certain things. The footwork. I'm looking at, is that front foot planted? Is, you know, is he hopping a lot? Is he moving? Is his body quiet in terms of it's just the delivery? Is he patting the ball a lot? You know, is he looking left, looking right? What? I didn't know. It looked normal, if that makes any sense, right? You can tell when somebody's just not. You can see it. And so I was looking at it. It was interesting. So then I'm looking at Marcus Davenport. Oh, hey, there he is. He's the guy that the Saints traded the number one pick for next year for, to move up and get him. And you can see he's off the line quick. You can see his size. I'm also noticing, and I'm looking at the roster, and who in the heck is 70, right? 70 seems to be doing pretty good against him. I mean, Davenport seems to get a jump on him, and boom, he's keeping his hands inside the shoulder pads, good leverage, butt centered and angling down. I mean, good balance. I'm like, who is this dude? I'm like, you know, I'm like, what? Guy's playing pretty well. I'm like, Hampton. That's all it has. You know, it has Ola, Michael Ola, Hampton. I'm like, all right. Well, this particular play that I tweeted, Brian Ollie's captured the video, and I like elbowed him right afterwards. Did you notice this play? And I saw three things happen in that one play. And again, you can make fun of me if you like. This is what stood out to me. Eight's a low snap. Barrett gets it out of the shotgun. Right off the snap, Davenport is gone. I mean, gets a huge jump on the outside. Dips his left shoulder. He's on his way to Barrett. I mean, this is a two-hand touch. We're going to call it a sack. I mean, this is what's happening. The left tackle, who again, then look at the roster and see it's Michael Ola, recovers. Recovers enough to get two hands on him and use that momentum that he's going outside and kind of just push him outside. But what stood out was Barrett never flinched. JT Barrett was looking for an out route to Traquan Smith. Good 10, 15 yards out. Not only did he deliver a strike to which Traquan caught it, took one step, and then immediately turned it up the field with a good foot and a half or so before the sideline, which I thought that was the third thing I noticed was remarkable. He caught it, stopped, boom, took it right up immediately. And that's something you always hear Curtis Johnson tell him. The second you catch it, take it up. Go up. Go straight up the field the second he catches it. That's something you always hear Curtis Johnson tell a receiver. So he did that really well. But the video that we tweeted, you know, you can really just see. I mean, again, it looked like here comes a two-hand touch sack or, you know, the whistle blows and then the play continues because obviously you can't hit him as a red jersey. But the left tackle stood in there. And what impressed me was Barrett never flinched, never moved. Now, I saw some people on Twitter go, well, of course he's not going to move. He has a red jersey. You hadn't been to practice and watched Garrett Grayson or Tyler Palco or some of the other Saints quarterbacks because you're absolutely right, the person that tweeted me. You should never flinch or bail on the play, right? You can't get hit. You're absolutely right. There is no reason for you to pull the ball down and scramble. We have seen many a OTA, many a training camp. After number nine leaves the huddle, you would swear that the play called by the Saints was a scramble, a quarterback sneak, a quarterback draw, an option play. And guess what? There are not very many of those in the playbook.
I've seen
that. Right? Even Jordan the intern, exactly. Or interception, exactly. That's my point. But and if you go to the Saints, the Twitter handle, or even on the website, they actually have like highlights. It's a minute 20. If you go click it, scroll all the way to the end. It's the last play, but from a different angle than what I tweeted. It's from where Traquan Smith catches the ball, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's a heck of a throw. It's a sweet delivery. I mean, the hand from Davenport's in his face. Barrett never flinched. I asked him, and I'll play this next segment, about that play. I mean, I have to imagine he met Michael Ola Friday, right? I mean, that might have been the first time he's ever met the guy. Trust in him. I thought it was great. Stay with the play. And he made an accurate throw. Again, I understand all of this I'm saying. It's practice, but what else are you going to evaluate? I mean, I watched Ola take on Davenport, the number one draft pick of the team, and I thought he did a good job. So I wasn't surprised yesterday when I saw that the Saints signed him to a one-year deal after his tryout. He's a veteran, 32 career games, experience with four games, signing a one-year deal with the Saints. He's 30 years old. Didn't play a game in the NFL until 2014 with the Bears. He's also played regular season games for the Lions, Bills, and Chargers, made two appearances for the Chargers in 2017. So again, I was not surprised because I thought he handled them really well, keeping his hands in, jamming Davenport. I mean, he did spin moves on him. He got off the line and beat him at the time, but he always recovered. And I thought that was interesting. Quick break. When we come back, you'll hear from JT Barrett. You'll hear from Sean Payton. Again, this is just one person that stood out to me. We'll hear about Davenport. We'll hear from Traquan, who I thought was really interesting in some of his answers as well. In my one-on-one with what receivers coach Curtis Johnson. So, got a fun show lined up for you. Love to get your takes and opinions as well at ESPN Radio. NOLA, 4-800-998-1003. It is Monday, May 14th, right here. 19 minutes past the hour on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. You know, it wouldn't be a normal show if David on Twitter wouldn't be going after me for some reason. David on Twitter at GCAT_17. Gus has JT Barrett in the Rookie Camp Hall of Fame. Come on, man. 18-minute segment on JT Barrett, why he should be the starter. Come on, man. I didn't do all 18 minutes on JT Barrett. See, this is the thing, though. This is what's funny, right? Because, Jordan, I was talking to you a little about this in Brian Ola East as well. The graph got on me, too. He's like, are you diagnosing a play in rookie? What is it that you want us to do? Like, you're sort of darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. If we don't say we saw anything at practice, people want to know what happened. Well, I'm telling you what stood out. I was like, hey, that was a nice play. I didn't name him the starter, David. I didn't say he was better than Breeze. What I'm saying is it was nice to see somebody other than Breeze not hit the dirt on a pass. It was nice to see somebody other than Breeze not bail out and scramble on a play in which the first round draft pick, probably somebody you want to hear something about, smoked the left tackle, but then the left tackle recovered. Oh, by the way, the team signed them to a deal. And the quarterback that people think he should have been drafted made a nice play. Two, the team's second pick in the draft, Tre'Quan Smith, who made a nice catch and turned it upfield. I mean, isn't that what you want to hear? Like in that one play, four players did something of note, and those players are something of note, right? I mean, Tre'Quan Smith was drafted. Nice catch, moved, took up the field. It's good. The number one draft pick. How do you do? Sweet, you know, move off the edge. He's going to work on his hands because that's all it is. Like, I'm thinking I can see Cam Jordan swim move or something like that to get rid of the lineman. He's got to work on his technique a little bit there, but you can see it. You can see that quickness and explosiveness. Isn't that something you want to hear from the rookie? I mean, the team traded away their first round pick next year on him. Don't you want to hear what he did? That's what I'm telling you. And what I thought was interesting is, here's this big, you know, DN coming right at you. Quarterback didn't bail. Made a nice move. I don't even know he's going to make the team. I'm just observing that play, what I saw there. And you're going to see a lot more once OTAs comes and things start happening. But yeah, I mean, and it wasn't just me. A lot of other people thought he looked good that day. He did well. Again, we can just look at that. We're not comparing him to the starters on the Saints or the 53. We're not even close to the 53. I'm just doing what Coach Payton and them are doing. All you can judge and look at is what's happening on the field that very second. I thought Michael Ola did a good job against the number one draft pick. I guess the team did too. They signed him to a one-year deal. That's all I'm telling you. And I can also tell you, out of the other quarterbacks that were out there too, he was getting a lot of the coaching, JT Barrett. JT Barrett on the learning curve.
I was studying, you know, at night, but I'm talking about as far as the first install went. I mean, these are new plays, and they're handed to you. And, I mean, we went over it the night before, but it was kind of like, hey, we're running these plays tomorrow. Make sure they look nice, you know what I'm saying? So just making sure that a lot of times if you know what you're doing, it's easier to say, you know, what the play is. So that was a part of it. So I had to learn what I was doing first, and then, you know, saying it came later.
One of the other things that'll be interesting, too, is just, again, just to sort of see, and Brian Early says this all the time, Sean Payton pretty much has he's changed the last several years. He'll tell you how he feels, especially in this early part of the season. I always tell you this. Up until you start getting to training camp, I've always thought the best Sean is right now, OTAs and even in mini camp and stuff. He'll tell you. He'll tell you if a player is playing well or not. I mean, he will. You'll hear it in a little bit about Tre'Quan Smith. Hey, look good. He needs to work on his lower legs. First thing you notice when you look at him, he's got skinny legs. I see it on the field. I'm like, you know, yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I'm a sideline guy. So I look at things like that. I'm like, yeah, he's bird legs. Then there's Sean Pagos. He needs to work on his lower body, you know, strength. That's getting off the field, pushing off, things like that. Again, I don't know if that means that he has got the bird legs or not, but you can sort of see it. Here's Sean Payton on JT Barrett.
Well, there's a leadership presence about him. He's a good athlete. He's played a lot of competitive football. And He's handled this camp very well. So a lot of the things that you look for in that position. He certainly was worthy of being drafted, and he's done a good job here.
What are some of the things, I see you heard Larry was about to ask him, that you're looking for in a quarterback position?
How accurate is he? I mean, you know, is he completing passes in time? Is he getting through his progressions? How quickly does he learn? Can he get to the huddle and call the play? Can he handle the cadence? You know, his ability to ingest, process, and then go ahead and take it to the field. That's all real important.
Okay, now. I just took what he did. That's what I do when I'm looking at him, right? I understand wholeheartedly this isn't against the veterans. I understand wholeheartedly they're not in pads. What you should be able to do, though, is certain things. And that's what I was saying. Tempo, speed. You can see it. I'm telling you. Trust me. And, Jordan, you were there. We could see. We would joke over the last 2 years. Like, you can see, right, the difference between Breeze and Chase Daniel. The tempo, the execution of the offense, how quick the ball got out. And then you could see that leap from Daniel to anybody else wearing a red jersey. Much less Gary Grayson. And I'm not picking on him, but you could see it. Jordan, am I lying? Couldn't you see it?
Most definitely.
You know?
Big difference.
I mean, there's telltale signs. Patting the ball three times, four times. The eyes are trying to follow and catch up to the receivers. Where they're going, right? You're trying to follow. What's going on? You can just see it. And what I'm saying is that's why it stood out. Like, if you had to ask me, one thing that stood out overwhelmingly without question was JT Barrett. I'm not saying he was throwing 70 yards or, as David said, I love David. The rookie camp Hall of Fame. That's great. Grav's dying right now. I can almost tell you. But you could see in and out, like he'd take two steps after the play in, gets the play call told to him. He walks in out the huddle, boom, he gets out there, and he looked decisive, I guess is what I'm getting at. He looked decisive, right? Stepping into the throws, and again, I get it. I understand the competition is no, I'm just saying, based off of past quarterbacks you've seen, it stood out. That's all I'm saying. Now, you heard Sean Payton say he was worthy of being drafted. Barrett was asked afterwards, why did he think he wasn't drafted?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you. I'm not a guy that's in the head office. But at the end of the day, that's something that wasn't in my control. And, you know, try to focus on things I can control. And that's, you know, being in this moment right now, have a great opportunity to go out there and perform and do well for myself, my family, and this organization. So that's what I'm trying to do, build each day on that.
I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to play, and I'll wrap up on the show, which apparently is the greatest play of all time in rookie minicamp. It was an impressive play, though. But I want you to hear from him, because I thought what stood out was his response to it. And it's something that, again, you just sort of shelve, you know, you store away, as I now continue to watch and evaluate on my end over the next couple of times that we get to see him. I won't get to see him again until that one day a week, next week, during OTAs, and see how he does against Lattimore and against other guys that are in there. Well, it may not be, because he might be third or fourth string, but I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see what happens when you're playing with other guys. But his answers stood out to me, and I'll play the two in particular, because it's that one play that I'm referencing that stood out. I don't know why, of all the plays that I saw, that one play, again, just stood out. But four principal players of the draft and the team giving a deal on one play, that's what I'm saying, just stood out. Tackle, did really well. Davenport got off the line. There's your quickness and size. You'll learn how to finish that move. Traquan Smith, sweet catch, nice hands, caught it out in front, turned it upfield. That's what you want to see. And the quarterback delivered a strike amidst pressure. Boom, that's kind of what I wanted to see. We'll take the quick break, and you'll hear what Barrett has to say, plus much, much more from Sean Payton on everybody else, what he's thought so far, some other players. And again, coming up at 12:45, my one-on-one with Curtis Johnson. The guy got two receivers added to the room there, and also Dennis Allen in hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans, brought to you by the King Firm in hour one. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING, or kinginjuryfirm.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. All right, so let me play these two bites, and we'll get to Uptown Rula here in a second. But again, I wanted to ask him afterwards myself, like, well, again, I'm just trying to find something to talk about and pick out of that. And it's an interesting play. It stood out to me. He made a good play. So, again, I had to tell him the name, you know, Michael Ola, left tackle. You probably met him on, you know, Thursday or Friday. And in the thought process of trusting that left tackle, because, again, Davenport blew off the line. I'm like, here's a sack. And Barrett's response.
Yeah, I mean, you trust the other guys to do their job. I mean, that's part of it being a team, and I trusted that guy to do his part, and they trusted me to make sure I know where to go with football and deliver a ball. But, yeah, being at Ohio State, I had to go against Joey Bosa a lot. So there's that.
Also, this is the part that in the follow-up, too, was that he stayed with the play and trusted he knew where he was going with the football. Again, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, so I think part of it is having a plan. I mean, if you call for the ball and you don't have a plan, then, I mean, you're already behind because you're reacting to what's going on. You want to anticipate things, and you want to make sure you're out there having confidence in what you do. So a lot of it is going out there, having a plan, and then be confident in that plan. Like, go out there, if this is not there, all right, shut it down. Then you know where everybody else is at. But at the end of the day, you start off with a plan. And so I mean, that's how I look at things. So it kind of calms my mind when I'm out there, knowing it's not there. Boom, boom, boom. I work through reads, and it's less thinking.
He used the word calm. That's a good way to describe, I guess, my first impression of watching JT Barrett. He looked calm. And again, the other thing that stands out, man, he's right on there with Von Bell, who I forgot. I was mentioning all the other Ohio State guys. He's like, you forgot Bell. You brought that up. But it's the one thing that stands out, our first meeting of Michael Thomas, our first meeting of Marshawn Lattimore, our first meeting of Von Bell. Just, it's just something about them. They're just, they have their answers. They come across very polished, professional, ready to play some football. I mentioned it to JT about that. He goes, hey, it's the Ohio State way.
No, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you play at a place like Ohio State, I feel like we got the best guys in the country, I mean, every year. So with that, practices, they are rough, very intense. So you come to a place like this, Texas, our practice is still intense as far as mentally and what your assignment is and making sure you're doing the right thing. And then you go out there and perform well. But we used to get after Ohio State. So, I mean, Bloody Tuesdays was the thing. Wednesday, we're going at it. I mean, without, you know, lowers, but it was like, that's how it was. We grinded things out. So I think going into the NFL, not just here at the Saints, other guys that went other places from Ohio State, I think at the end of the day, we know how to work hard.
There you go, Jordan. Bloody Tuesdays. Tomorrow I'm going to start with a ruler right over your knuckles right there.
Bloody Marys?
No, not Bloody Marys. Stop it. You realize you're not of legal age, right? You realize that.
I never said I was going to do it.
Jordan, the intern. And look, like I said, and this is for David, I'm not calling him the starter week one. I'm just saying you're asking, or, you know, not you, but what stood out? This kid stood out. And just for David, it's almost like this bite is perfect for him. And what you say is, look, let's settle down. And it was like, I understand what's still to come. Because OTAs is next week, and that's a whole different level. This is just, you heard Sean Payton, the opening segment. He's like, look, we're just trying to give them enough to see if they can retain it and see if they can execute it. And JT's the same way. He hadn't put himself on the roster, he hadn't made the team, he hadn't done any of that.
That'd be good, but like I said, I mean, it's a day-by-day process, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure, like, you know, one of the coaches said, like, the install we had for this little rookie mini camp was like half of a day one install for the vets. So, like I said, I'm taking it day by day, trying to make sure, you know, my head's barely swimming above water, but trying to get better each and every day, and I think that's all I'm trying to do.
I like that. It's a good response and a great answer, right? And then it also kind of gives you a little peek as a fan of, you know, behind the curtain there. Did you hear what he said? That a day one install for the vets, you know, once OTA start, day one install, it half of that. That's what they've gotten for the weekend. Think about that. So I'm saying it's a ton of retention. And I've always said this too, especially when people go, football players are stupid. Eh, I define stupid, right? I mean, I would venture, and I'm going to do this. I promise. I say this every year for OTA and minicamp, because that's the most time that you can probably get time with coach or Drew. I'm going to ask each. And I've always said I want to do this. I want to ask each to spit out one play. Just to spit out one play. And we're going to do it like, I don't know how I'm going to do it on the air to make it to where you can tell. Maybe you'll hear the tick, 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 so you know, of a play call. The verbiage, what it means, what you're looking for. Get an offensive lineman to tell me what they're looking for. If the play goes to Thomas, tell him, you know, have him say, what was he looking for in that play? Just something so you can hear how many people it takes to work in conjunction in such a short amount of time, retain, remember, and know for one play to succeed. I think it's a lot more than you guys think it is. And at the speed and at that level, it's for a play to get a gain of two. I mean, it is. I mean, it's reality. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. You know, that's why some guys can do and some can't at different level. I mean, there's a reason, you know. Uptown Ruler, what you got for us today on the Sports Hangover, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, what I want to know is this. Mark Ingram, we going to trade him? Are we going to keep him? Are we going to cut him?
Well, here's the thing. You can't really trade him right now because you're not going to get him for the first four games. I don't see a long list of teams that are willing to say, hey, yeah, we'll trade you something for him. A, when we know it's his last year of his contract, and B, we don't get him for the first four games of the season. So that hurt. I think you keep him because there's no reason for you to not to, right? I'm going to play the bite here in a second from Sean Payton on Mark Ingram. And I think I have the follow-up in there, in which it's, you know, are you happy that he's here or not? But here's what he had to say.
Look, it happens in our league, and, you know, we get the same notice just when he and his agent are getting a notice, and you deal with it. I mean, it's it goes under PEDs, and yet, you know, I know Mark well enough to know, you know, it wasn't a performing enhancing drug. He'll better be able to explain the other parts of it, but it happened with Willie last year. So you adjust like it would be an injury.
Is it all frustrating, you know, that he hasn't been participating?
No, listen, we spoke a couple times before the off-season program started, and, you know, it is what it is. He'll know what to do. Now, do I think he should be here? Yeah. But it's optional, and, you know, we'll see him at the minicamp.
Now, it's in there. It's a quick follow-up. We didn't cut it. But he was asked, you know, is his contract, I think Josh Kazenstein for the Picayune was the one asking that question. He followed up with, is his contract status going to change? He goes, no, I don't see that app. So they're not going to give him a new contract. I mean, again, Uptown Ruler, you know this. They made Drew Brees, for crying out loud, in the past wait to literally the week of the first game of the regular season before he got his deal. Mark Ingram gets, you know, suspended for four games. Doesn't attend OTAs. Do you think he's getting a new deal? No. So
no, yeah. No. And I'll say this. Those guys who got on the air, Wayne, whatever his name, Ron Wright, talking about he's a Cowboy fan. I tell you what, let's put him on a Bear uniform and put him in front of the Cowboy fans and see what they'll do to him. Another one, the other guy, what was his name who got on the air? So he liked the Cowboys?
Oh, I don't know. Was that
he
last
was on
Friday?
There last week.
Friday?
Yeah, last Friday, yes.
Oh, you talking about Marlon? Marlon Favorite?
No, it might have been one of the girls.
Yeah, Marlon Favorite and the other one.
No. I don't know.
He had another one. So he liked the Cowboys. He going to wear the Cowboys hat and wear all that. Good. Tell you what, put him in the backfield when we play him. Because we're going to stump them Cowboys. And don't forget it. We beat y'all already. You know what I like for y'all to do? Play that C.J. Spiller run and play that Billy Waddy run, and they're both running towards the end zone, and the Cowboys running behind them trying to catch them, and they're winning the race. Now, Cowboy fans, take that. Take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it, because we're going to beat you good this time. We beat the last time in Texas Stadium. We're going to beat you good again in Texas Stadium. And when you come down here, if you make the playoff, and what I'm saying, let me say this about Tony Romo. Tony Romo got all that money and brought the Cowboys to one playoff game. Mm-hmm. Now, I could take that money and maneuver with that money, do a lot of things with that money. Buy me a new team, buy me a new stadium, run Tony Romo out of the broadcasting booth, you know, and stuff like that. I don't hate him, but I don't like what he did. And another thing, let me say one more thing here.
Sure.
They never gave Tom Landry his day in Texas. All he did for that team, they never gave him his day in Texas. So that lets you know where the Cowboy organization stand at, they're below sea level. They're not staying with us, but they're below my shoe.
Uptown Ruler, always a pleasure when you call. There it is, November 29th, by the way, Saints Cowboys. He's pumped ready to go on May 14th. The Cowboy response coming up at 2:15. Marlon's already texting me laughing emojis. Marlon Favorite, self-admitted Cowboys fan. Go figure. When we come back, my little one-on-one with head coach. What I keep saying head coach. I keep thinking of those days with Tulane. Receivers coach, Curtis Johnson. Pair of receivers going into that room as well. Plus, more observations. If you got any questions or you know, who looked like what or whatever, just, you know, feel free. Throw them along. At ESPN Radio NOLA, give us a call, 800-998-1003. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Go check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. Look, they specialize in personal injury, maritime offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp. Do not play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. In your sleep. Doesn't matter where you've been, as long as... Welcome back. It is the Sports Hangover, hour number one, brought to you by the King Firm. Charlie Ricks each and every Monday. NOLA Golf Academy. You can follow him on Twitter at NOLA Golf Academy. Imagine that real easy. The Players Championship on this weekend took place. I'm sure you'll talk a little bit about that tonight.
Mm-hmm. We'll have Jimmy Hedrick with us tonight. Longtime PGA professional here in New Orleans. We're going to talk about the Mackle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the City Amateur Championship.
Right.
It's at Bayou Oaks at City Park.
Named after Fletcher and Travis Mackle's dad.
The great Frank Mackle. Long time. And I got to know Frank on a personal level back in the mid-70s before I left town for a few years. And one of my favorite people of all time. And certainly I... One of the first golf lessons I ever took in my life was from Frank Mackle. And I don't know if you knew him, his personality, but I don't think Frank Mackle could sit still for more than 2 seconds.
Right.
You know, attention deficit disorder was not even a phrase back then. But he's the kind of guy, he'll give you a golf lesson. He was so engaging with everybody that during the golf lesson, he probably spoke to 15 people walking by. How you doing? How are the kids? Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'll see you next
during
Sunday.
The golf lesson.
You know, and I'm working on my backswing. Right. But that was Frank Mackle, and you loved him for that. And he was so endearing with everyone he ever met. And every time I see Fletcher Mackle, I see his dad, Frank. The personality, the body movements, and you know Fletcher well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fletcher's kind of that way, isn't he? He's always moving, right?
For sure, definitely. Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely comes across as someone that has had a few cups of coffee.
But tonight we're going to talk about the Mackle. It's going to be, I believe it's June 23rd and 24th at City Park. It's a 2-day event. It is the City Championship, and golfers of all levels can play in this. We have probably 5 or 6 divisions. There's juniors, women's, seniors. I think there's even a super senior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're over 70 years old.
Is there a hacker, like in terms of me maybe playing?
We may have a new one, Gus.
Yeah, the new one.
You may qualify.
Exactly right.
But anyway, Jimmy Hedrick, what a gentleman. And he served his apprenticeship under Frank Mackel when he was at Lakewood Country Club,
yep,
the old Lakewood private club back in the 70s. And Jimi Hendrix even received, I believe he was the apprentice of the year back when he worked under Frank Mackel. So wow, we'll have a, and we'll reminisce a little bit. I'm sure we'll have a couple of Frank Mackel stories from Jimi Hendrix today. No doubt. But Tiger Mania, baby, it's back.
I was going to say, that's why I wanted you on. We always have you on Monday to kind of recap the weekend and kind of promote what's coming up tonight from 6 to 8 right here on ESPN New Orleans. But he makes a run on Sunday, and then he, boop, in the drink on 17. But
that's
He got people, and that's what he said, is that he said the score doesn't indicate how well he was playing.
Listen, Michael Collins, the ESPN golf analyst, was on. He had a soundbite.
Oh my! This morning. Heard him Friday morning.
But his
he was
why
amazing.
Is why is Tiger? He's all, you know. He was a former stand-up comedian, Michael
really?
Collins.
That
with
does
ESPN.
Not oh, that does not shock
exactly.
Me.
Exactly. And they were mentioning how Tiger sort of plays fair, struggles, you know, on Thursday and Friday, then goes low over the weekend.
Right.
And Michael Collins says, "Well, you know, the pressure's off, and he can just kind of relax and play golf." But see, I don't agree with that. Yes, he may be relaxed, but I think Tiger goes into a different mode, which he was in this past weekend at TPC. He might be relaxed, but he got aggressive. He attacked the pins. That's Tiger Woods golf. And, yeah, maybe during these first couple of months trying to get his game tuned up, yeah, maybe he went into Thursday trying not to lose the golf tournaments. But what I saw in 17 when he put it in the drink, that he was going for that pin. He's only five shots back, two holes to play. He needs birdie, birdie. And hope Webb Simpson backs up to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going for the middle of the green. He hit a perfect shot. He stared that ball down until it came short into the water. But he went for the pin. He said a gust of wind got that ball. But I think the reason we saw a 65 on Saturday, a 69 that could have easily been a 66 on mm-hmm. Sunday, is Tiger Woods was feeling good, and he was playing aggressive golf, but yet, yes, relaxed.
One of the things that I take from his post-match, I guess, you know, sound and interviews is, in the past when he was trying to make those initial comebacks, mm-hmm. he was still comparing himself to Masters champ winner and dominating Tiger, rather than kind of seeing where the process is. Like, he's not upset that he's not winning, and he's not upset. He said it after this one. He's playing better than the score is indicating, and to him, it's really a process to get back to where it is. Would you agree with that? To where he right now, he just wants to get playing good.
Totally
again,
agree.
To where then he can start going for
championships. I totally agree, and that's why his expectations are not that high on himself yet. He knows where he is with his golf game,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting closer. He made 18 birdies over the weekend. We haven't been seeing that in his previous tournaments. Now, yes, he knows his golf course. He's won there a couple of times. It did set up well for his two-iron stinger
right.
off the tee. But this U.S. Open coming up, Shinnecock Hills in New York, I'm excited about it. Of course, top storyline is always Tiger. You know, is he going to win another major? Yes. But to me, the top storyline for this U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, which is very short, by the way, there's a lot of short par fours on this golf course. There's only two par fives,
mm-hmm.
one on each side, not the typical four. So you're not going to see the big hitters, you know, get a lot of eagles. So the scores are going to stay pretty much, you know, even par to maybe five under might be the score. But to me, the storyline is going to be Phil Mickelson. He's still
in his shirt.
He needs, hopefully he leaves that in the closet, but he hasn't won a U.S. Open in his
right.
career. That would complete the career Grand Slam. He's been, what, six times he finished second.
Right.
But to me, that's the storyline because his game is in pretty good shape right now. And
yeah,
to
he's
see
third
Phil
in the FedEx
Mickelson,
Cup standing,
you know, come down the stretch for this U.S. Open and win it, what a story that would be. And, you know, it's hard to forget that 2006 meltdown at Wingfoot on 18.
I know tonight you guys will talk about that, plus the winner, Webb Simpson, a great storyline which you'll touch on today.
Yeah.
His dad passed away recently, and he said it was for his mom who was having trouble with that. I mean, that's it kind of
he had a purpose.
You up.
He had a purpose.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Great story.
Looking forward to tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, Mr. Charlie Ricks, NOLA Golf Academy.
All right, buddy.
Coming up, Rafael Esparza, legalized gambling. It's coming to the coast. We'll touch on that And then we'll hear more from your New Orleans Saints as rookie minicamps in the books. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 1 brought to you by the King Firm on ESPN New Orleans.